Last time, if you're willing and able, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to go there, then we'll be back in Exodus. We're talking about the next generation. Exodus 6, rather, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There may be lots and lots of verses in the Bible we don't believe anymore, but I promise you, this has got to make the top 10. If you understand that, children, obey your parents, that we don't believe this anymore, nod your head, say amen, boy. Yeah, verse 2. Honor your father and mother, that it may be, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Exodus, next set of verses there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You can be seated. We've been talking about relationships. And I want to start today. I'm going to finish next week. Talking about the next generation. I really want to talk about the attack on men next week, and dads and those kind of things. But I want to kick it off and start it today. And before we pray, I want to help you. You can say, well, I don't have children. I promise this message applies to you. You say, my children are grown. This message applies to you. I've got grandchildren, or I've got stepchildren, or whatever it is. I'm telling you, we are all involved. We all have to be involved in helping the next generation. We've got to encourage next generation. Some of you work with people you have in your neighborhood. Some of you see regularly young people, and you see the effects that their childhood, their lack of parenting, the missed opportunities, or even now, and they're just terrified. They're about to have children. They're looking at you because you're a little bit older. And I promise, everybody here has a part to play in this. And the reality is, if you're going, man, I'm not to be involved in this, I promise you're not getting that from Scripture. You're getting that from culture who's telling you to back off, and we're not going to listen to culture about this. Somebody say amen. We're going to listen to Scripture. How are we to interact with the next generation? The second thing I just want to say before I pray is, if you go, man, I feel guilty because I've not been a good parent like my parents were, or my grandparents were, or my step-parents were, or I wish I had. I don't know a person upright who doesn't have a long list of wish I hads. Wish I hads and shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And wish I had and shoulda, coulda, wouldas are paralyzing. And the only thing you can do about the past is be forgiven and learn from it, but you got to do stuff today. So we're talking about today. Where am I at today? Where am I at today in my life, in my stage of life right now, and with the opportunity that God's given me, as Andrea and I are now, we've celebrated 27 years of marriage, and I'm going, what's next? God, if you're going to leave me here, what's next? How can I help Coach Allison? How can I help Coach Riley? How can I pour in their lives? How can I help them not pay the dumb tax that their daddy's paid? How can I help them navigate what's ahead in a world that is scary and fuzzy, and do that as they're becoming young adults now, and my input is different? How can I do that? Why? Because I get this opportunity to impact the next generation, whether it's in my house or influencing from a pulpit or just being a man who somebody can talk to. And I want to encourage you, or lady somebody can talk to, I want to encourage you about that. So pray with me right now, and we're going to jump in. Father God, we love you. Help us today not feel guilty. Help us not be defeated. Help us not think this doesn't apply, because I'm single again. Children are gone. Don't have any children. Whatever it is, help us not to look at that through a restrictive lens, but an open one. And Father, there are a lot of people that we will come in contact with who need the wisdom of Scripture. They're getting it from all kinds of places. They're checking the view count on YouTube and Vimeo. Heaven help us, they're looking at TikTok, and this is where they're getting their wisdom, and that's maybe not the best place. And I pray you be with us right now. Pray you speak to hearts. I pray there'd be real conviction, there'd be real honesty, there'd be real openness. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, whether we find ourselves in a job situation where there are people that are younger than us around, whether it's simply encouraging grown children with their children, or to walk the nurture and admonition, wherever we find ourselves, help us. And Lord, we really can't do anything about yesterday, but we can do something about today. So give us fresh grace and fresh help. And I pray that you do that right now in our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. God's people said, amen. Amen. So the story goes. Nod your head if you understand. Whenever a preacher says that, this is not true. Not true. It sounds better to say, so the story goes, than say, I'm about to tell a big lie. Is that okay with everybody? So the story goes, the little girl shows up to class. Little girl shows up to class, and the teacher says, okay, children, how many of you are atheists in here? And so the story goes, and everybody raised their hand to make the teacher happy, except for one little girl. One little girl didn't raise her hand, and she said, are you not an atheist? She said, no, ma'am. Said, I'm a Christian. Said, why are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Well, my mom and dad taught me this is what the Bible says. And so the teacher doubles down, so the story goes. And teacher doubles down and says, well, what if your parents were morons? What would you be? And she looked at her and said, well, I reckon I'd be an atheist. And there we go. And so explain that to the people that are around you. And so it's kind of funny. And we're there. When we get into this, we get all kind of things. We get all kind of emotions. I never was prepared for what I experienced 20, 25 years ago when I was walking through the model prayer. I've said this a few times now. And I had young people, young ladies in particular, talking about God being a good heavenly father, and they recoiled at that idea that a man could be a good father, that I could trust the Lord like I trusted my earthly father, stepfather, mama's boyfriend. And it dawned on me, man, I'm using a reference that people don't get. And having to help them go, you can trust the Lord even though you have not been able to depend upon your earthly father or your earthly stepfather. And so we're talking about this, man. We just got the mixed bag of things that are here. I put the classic little thing about why I don't take a bath on there, and I hope it'll help you. And maybe help you when people talk about, you know, being a Christian or going to church or these kind of things. And this is really old. I tried to run it down a few years ago. It's been manipulated so much. But 10 reasons I've got on your sheet there. Number one, I was made to wash as a child. Made to wash as a child. Well, I can't go to church. I was made to. Number two there, people who wash are hypocrites. They reckon they're cleaner than other people. Again, I love what some of you like to say to people. Hey, the church full of hypocrites. He is exactly right, but one more won't matter. Come on and join us. There are so many different kinds of soap. I could never decide which one was right. I've been thrilled in the recent 2 or 3 years in particular. People tell me I don't know what I believe. I still don't know where people, that's a lot of chutzpah. And don't you know? Yeah, I know. I understand. Just so many different kinds. So I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. Now that sounds like about a fifth grade boy. But anyway, got so boring. I used to do it on special occasions, Easter and Christmas. None of my friends washed. Again, we're talking about the metaphor here. I'm still young. When I'm older and I've gotten a bit dirtier, I might start washing. By the way, I've almost known no one that does that. They say, well, I'll put that off. And if they do, man, they come back with so much baggage and so broken. I've never met one who made the loop back to the Lord, so to speak, who didn't go, man, I wish I'd done this years ago. Wish I'd done this so many years ago. The other funny thing, I don't really have time to do that. Number nine, the bathroom is never warm enough, cold enough, comfortable enough. Take your pick there. And then finally, the people who make soap, they're only after your money. And so this is why we never wash. And so how many of you catch that? Any ever heard anything close to that, talking about the Lord or church or Christianity or anything like that? Yeah. So I put that in. So we're talking about this. We're saying an uphill battle. If you're going to impact the next generation, you're going to go face-to-face with people. Some people have the same logic of why I don't take a bath or I don't wash. There is another one there, and this is a little satire. But one hurdle you have to climb sometimes is people. See, people are hurt. When people are hurt, whether it's an intentional hurt or an unintentional, whether it's a perceived hurt or a real hurt, again, it ends up the same. I'm not trying to delineate there. That's a tough one to hurt. That's a tough one to crawl over. And more and more folks are coming out of strange. I don't want to say wicked because I don't want to imply motive. But strange and non-biblical circumstances, and they're carrying that, and they have a hard time opening back up to a body of believers because they've been so badly wounded or so badly disappointed. So I want to acknowledge all that, but I want to give you a second. So I want to talk to us today. I want to zero in on a few things, and then, like I said, I'm going to bridge the gap into the next one. So I want to talk about how can we do this. I want to start off with a thought there. Number one, the fundamental relationship of life is the child to the parents, child to the grandparents, step-parents. I'm not going to keep explaining or using all the synonyms there. Just take it, whatever your family situation looks parents like, okay, this is the fundamental relationship. It is that relationship that they begin to get their first view of God. First view of God. Some of you, you know that's to be true because you had such a weird, toxic, broken relationship with parents or step-parents or grandparents, whatever, and you had a hard time saying, I can trust him. And you've been manipulated and lied to by somebody who's over you like that. And so, and the other is, man, it was the easiest thing in the world, man. I had a sweet mom, I had a sweet dad, I had sweet grandparents, whatever it was. And I can trust them. I can trust them. Sin brings pain. Sin brings consequences. There's joy that's there. I'm loved unconditionally. All of those things, whether for good or bad, we get from that relationship in the home. This is one of the reasons why. One of the reasons why. As long as I've got breath in me, we will not act like other countries. If I got anything to do, I will fight as long as I can. The primary relationship cannot be the child to the teacher, or the educational system. And we've got to continue to keep the focus. Child to the parent. Nod your head and say amen. I need all the help I can get. We believe in education. I participate in education. I've got some education, but I understand at the end of the day, man, I am to be pointing the heart of the children toward home and toward Jesus. I'm to be doing that and to honor them. God save us from irresponsible, reckless people who badmouth parents and grandparents and mock them and turn the hearts of the children away from their parents. Somebody say amen to that. Man, I'm be doing this. I'm be the second thing here, second thing. How I treat my parents, again, this is something I've said so long, it's kind of been attributed to me. How I treat my parents, who I can see, is really the fundamental training for how I treat the Lord, who I can't see. That's it. It's the hinge commandment. We quoted from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, that we quoted from them. Honor your father and mother. May be wealthy in the land. Thou mayest live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You need to do this. You need to honor. You need to obey. Man, this is the hinge. This is the hinge. And again, those of you feeling bad, those of you in guilt, those of you children are grown, whatever. I just want to remind you again, you got breath. You can pray. You got breath, man. You can call out to God on their behalf. You can model it in front of you. You can be the changed individual. Only time we give up is when we pass away or they pass away. Until then, we fight and we claw and we scratch because we want to impact the next generation. I don't know what I can do. I don't know why I can relate at 52 like I could at 22 or 32. But in one sense, I don't have to. I get to say, man, I've been there, done that. Let me tell you what I wish I hadn't done and what I wish I'd done a little more of. I don't need to act like I'm 22. 22. Somebody asked me a few years ago preacher, are you going to start untucking your shirt and wearing skinny pants? I said, well, occasionally my belly escapes, and so my shirt's untucked anyway. anybody have that problem? Occasionally that happens. I said, but I don't think much about that. You know, they're talking about, you know, the new trend. I said, but I tried some skinny pants on, and it was like a blood pressure cuff, and I'm not doing that. So, because I want to live. And I heard my pulse in my ear, and I don't want to do that. And I'm being funny here. And so he says, why you dress up? I dress up because I'm a pastor. I dress up because I want to honor the word. I dress up because it's normal to me. I don't think a whole lot about it. And I don't throw rocks at everybody because I got other things to do. But man, I want to look nice. I want to honor the word. I want to not be a distraction. And again, if I was wearing skinny pants and my feet were purple, then that would be a distraction. Nobody say amen, please. And we're there. I want to do this. How I do this is the training ground. So God gives responsibilities. So I want to help us. What's the next generation responsibility, and then what's my responsibility to extra drinks? I'm going to do that in two times, all right? Two times. So here's it. So if you're a young person and you're in here, young person, what do I mean by, if you're a dependent, if you can't live on your own and somebody else is bankrolling you, you're a dependent. Nod your head if that sounds like a pretty good definition of a child, amen? By the way, that means you can be a 35-year-old child. Get some of that. And so if you're in here and this is where you are, then it's your responsibility. I believe if you stand before God as a responsible young person, I believe this is one of the things you're going to answer for. Because this is a commandment directed at you. This is the expectation directed at you. What are they? They're pretty simple. Number one, you're to obey. You're to obey. Thank you. This is your action. Honor your father and mother. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is what you are to be doing. I've told this several years ago. I had a comrade. He said, I just don't repeat. I tell my kids, and I thought it was on an ego trip. You ever been around people that were on an ego trip? I really thought it was on an ego trip. He had five kids, and they were raising a granddaughter. I said, well, I got to know, you know, why are you doing it? He was a tall, big fella. He said, if I don't think they understood or they didn't hear, he said, I don't mind that. He said, but I'm just not going, if I tell you one more time, he said, because I'm teaching them to be that way to the Lord. And I don't want my children to act that way to the Lord. I want them to obey the Lord the first time because that's the path of joy and peace. So I'm doing them a disservice. If they don't hear me, there's too much noise or there's misunderstanding. So I'm not talking about that. He said, but I'm just not doing that if I know they heard me. He said, I'm going to do this. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's full of bravado. He's got an older son who's a football player. I'm sitting at the dinner table. I'm single, and I'm soaking all this in. And the littlest one does something squirrely. He looks at her and goes, and the blood drains out of her face. And I'm going, okay. And I keep on going, and the son smarts off. He's trying to impress everybody because I'm there. Son, football player, 250 pounds. He looks at him, calls him by name, says, that's two. And I watched a 250-pound senior high school senior football player. I watched the blood drain out of his face. I'm sitting beside the father. I look at the father. I go. I called his name. I said, I don't know what is this. What is this? He said, I try not to repeat because I want to obey the Lord. He said, but I don't bluff. I said, I still don't understand. He said, you're going to have bad days. He said, so you get one and you get two. I said, well, what happens at three? And everybody looked at their plate. He said, at three, I take care of business. I said, you take care of business? And I started to say, what does that mean? And the son kicked me under the table. And take care of business. He said, you never bluff. No, at three, we handle things. Why? Because I want to understand, man, that sin brings consequences. I want them to learn that when they're young. So when they're out there and they're doing all these things that I can't fix, I want to do that. I want my children to love God. I want them to understand sin hurts and it's bad and it's awful. He said, they don't get one, twos, and threes for being kids, for writing on the wall or being silly or spilling your milk. So we don't do that when they disobey directly. And they know what they're doing. This is when they get these kind of things. And we want them to understand that. And I'm thinking, this is revolutionary. You know what it was, man? You never how you implement that? That's pretty biblical. They're supposed to obey. Most radical thing I may say today is children are to obey and they're to honor parents. Because I don't know the next generation knows they're supposed to do that. For two or three generations in America, we've done what? Parents are to serve the children. The parents are to obey the children. And I'm not talking about being unloving. I'm just saying, man, we need to understand. I'm trying to help them get ready to love the Lord who they cannot see. To obey means to submit, to comply, to hearken, to heed, to follow directions, guidance, some instructions. It's a serious thing sometimes, though, by the way, that children are more responsible and they seem to have more on the ball than their biological parents. And they're the ones having to lead them. Man, the heart breaks for the shape that we're in. He says, do this, by the way, in the Lord. There is a limit there. They're not to follow in sin. They're not to go rob a bank. They're not to do these things. We had a young lady a few years ago in the Lord and all the situation and the circumstances of life. And when she came here, she came out of her mom used her to hustle and to get other people to not be looking while her mother would go and rob them. That is not biblical. Somebody say amen. One of the saddest things I ever did was every Wednesday morning, I'd drive an hour and a half and visit a young lady in a state lockup facility whose mother had used her and offered her up to different men in exchange for her mother to get her drug supply. And she'd had all she could take, and at 15, 16, she finally exploded. And as they began to peel back the layers in the state-controlled facility, they welcomed me in as a spiritual counselor because she was in such bad shape. Absolutely, that was not in the Lord. It was not in the Lord. There is a limit that is there. And they do this, why? They do this, why? When you do it in the Lord, by the way, the positive of that is it pleases the Lord. We are to obey them. Why is it so hard to obey? Here we go. Number one, they got a curse in them. There's, anybody ever heard any silly things from people? I got a teacher or two in here. One of my favorite was always, man, when I was in the classroom, one of my favorite was always, my child won't lie, wouldn't lie. And I'm going, I don't know how to help this situation. You mean your child wouldn't lie? And really would believe that, really believe that. And I'm like, you know, my children lied twice before lunch today. What do you mean your child? Well, your child wouldn't lie. Child wouldn't lie. Or I can't, you know, if you say, I can't believe my child do that, that's fine. But anyway, and with the advent of the video camera now, it's even harder, even harder. I had somebody tell me one time, I think that footage is doctored. I'm like, ma'am, our paper towels could be used as 100 grit sandpaper. We do not have the capability nor the technology to fake a moon landing quality kind of thing in order to frame up your child. Your child picked up a brick and hit the other kid in the face. We have it on video. I am sorry this offends you, but they're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. And we're here. There's a curse in them. You don't have to teach a child a lie. You don't have to teach a child to say, mine, mine, mine. Man, they just got it automatically, right? They got, and they will figure it out. Nobody's got to teach them how to steal, how to cheat, all these kind of things. Atlantic did a huge article. The challenge facing professors now, it's not just the large language models, which we, for whatever reason, call AI. It's not AI. It's not sentient. Only God gives souls to people. Nothing else has got a soul. Somebody nod your head at me if you understand it. It's just a large language model. But they're, because they can't even enforce the what? They can't even enforce the pledges that you're going to do it, because young people have no compunction in lying. And they're talking about having to have all these things done in class and extend the periods. And if a student turned in this kind of paper but then can't replicate the paper in class, I mean, just it's unfathomable. And it's not a technology problem. It's an honesty problem. Why? Because they got the curse in them. Somebody say amen. There's corruption around them. Corruption around them. I've only got one more point. You still with me? I like streaming or on demand. I like not watching commercials. I mean, I really like not watching commercials. I'm an impatient somebody when it comes to commercials. So do that. Again, we watch a lot of reruns. We watch stuff we watched before. I think I can quote quite a few Andy Griffiths and stuff like that. What else I figured out is that mom and dad used to go, okay, that comes on at 8. We're not going to watch that. Grandma says that comes on at 9. We're not watching that. At 10 o'clock, kids ought to be in bed. And if it's going at 10 o'clock, it's probably not good for us. That's just gone. You can watch the most gut-wrenching, god-awful whatever at 6:30 in the morning. And if you're not paying attention and your kids got the same account access you do, they can just stream anything. There's no standards for the online stuff. Very little. YouTube remarkably has some more standards than Hulu and Netflix and people like that. There's almost no warning. And there's just flat out corruption around them. Corruption around them. One of them, I'm at the physical therapy working out, and I see the Family Guy program on the screen, one of the most awful things, celebrating incest, etc. And it's on there, and it's 4:30 in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon, showing a rerun. Between that and all the other thing, I'm just telling you, there's corruption around it. There's corruption around us. There's a culture coming down upon them. About 4 years ago, United States Congress voted overwhelmingly to condemn mutilation, bodily mutilation being forced upon young men, young women in particular, in other countries. They signed up. It was almost a unanimous thing. Democrats, Republicans, everybody said, this is awful. They agreed with the United Nations, one of those rare things where everybody was on the same page. In those same 4 years, we have, and again, to quote the phrase, we've all developed a mind virus where we think it's a good idea to sterilize 10-year-old boys and 12-year-old girls, to give them drugs we don't know the effects on. We've done this. We've not checked to see if mom and dad have any kind of mental illness. We've not checked. We've not involved the psychologist. We've made it so easy now. In the last 2 weeks, Blockbuster news story comes out saying with a phone call in 20 minutes, you can get the insurance company to agree to do this with absolutely no check. And we've done this, and we go, well, man, we've got to be neutral. Oh, baloney, we got to be neutral. Molech's coming for the children. The devil's trying to destroy family. We're trying to do things to people. We can't get them out of bed. We can't get them to make their bed. They still got mismatched socks, and we're all of a sudden doing experimental surgery. Oh, no, thank you. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. The culture is screaming at us and saying, man, you've got to do this. If I'm the last guy left, I will raise my hand and say, no, sir. I will not offer the children of Molech. We're not going to destroy their lives. I'm sorry you got issues you're trying to work out through your children, your grandchildren, your stepchildren, whoever that is, but we're not doing it. We're not doing it. They locked up a doctor in California because they found out that he was on, dark web is a foolish expression, he was on a site that you had to know how to get to, and he was on there, and he was saying pervertedly that he had immense sexual enjoyment by experimental surgery on these young people. And he constantly recommended, no. I don't care if the whole world goes that way. We're going to raise our hand and say, no. Culture coming down, no thank you. I'm going to take my instructions from the scripture. I'm going to protect them. Suffer the little, permit the little children and me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, and then to tell everybody else that you're wrong because, no. It's a great debating tactic, but it's lousy logic. And we're here. You're to honor. You're to obey. It's hard. You're to honor. You're to make your mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma and grandchild, you're to treat them with the right honor. Right honor. Anybody grew up with a relative who could hear you roll your eyes? Man, we need to get that skill back, right? You roll your eyes. I got news for it. If you're so lousy and so sorry that you text lousy, mean things about your mom, dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma, and grandpa, you don't deserve to have a cell phone. Somebody say amen. And mom and dad, grandma, and grandpa, you get enough backbone, you catch them doing it, you go, that's mine. Till you learn some respect. You will not. I can't do anything about what you do when you move out to pray for you, love you, and beg you to get right with God. But as long as you're here, we're going to do that because you're not going to roll your eyes at Jesus. Marriage, the bed's for man and a woman. Beds is for, or bedrooms for after I get married. No. The fear of the Lord's beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You will not roll your eyes. You will obey. You will do things completely and sweetly, and immediately you will not talk back. You will not upset. You will not cut off the parent. You will not ignore them. You will not grumble. You will not do these things. This is how you bring ruin there. To honor means to esteem and value as precious. I used to preach in junior camps all up the seaboard, east seaboard. I used to ask the question, how much do your mom and dad, how much money would somebody give for your mom and dad based upon how much you value them? You to honor them. You to honor them. When you honor them, by the way, when you honor them, God says there'll be quality of life and quantity of life. Doesn't mean no young person doesn't die as a young person. It just simply means, by the way, and there's a lot of folks, man, they live to be 70 or 80 and their life is miserable because they've rejected, by the way, the people they can see, then they start rejecting the God they cannot see. This is the promise. This is the problem. Ever how long your life is, it will be different. I'm done. Number one, many adults are suffering the consequences of disobedience and dishonor. You can watch them. You can watch them walking out of Food City in Ingles Friday afternoon. You can watch them walking out Saturday afternoon. You can watch them struggle, popping Tylenol and aspirin, hard as they can go, to try and make it sort of on time on Monday morning. Broken relationships, offended families. Nothing satisfies them. You talk to Mark sometime about the number of young people he interacted with as a state patrolman down in Florida. And it wasn't what was going on right then, man. It started way back yonder in the house, in the home. Policemen and first responders having to play social workers and encouragers and psychologists and the whole thing, man, starts there, and they cannot get away from it. Many children going unprepared in life because no one's encouraging, no one's making them going, man, you need to obey and honor. You need to obey and honor. You're still college students. They'd be mad. Papers due Wednesday at 8 a.m. They turned in Thursday. I'd say, paper's late, count it off. Mr. Hallman, I said, son, I don't care when it's turned in, but I am trying to get you employed. And let me help you. Let me give you a little secret. If you're supposed to preach at 10:30 on Sunday and you're ready to preach at 10:30 on Monday, you're not going to keep a job very long. Somebody nod your head if you understand that. Man, it's just coming. You got to learn to do this. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to do these things. I had a young man call me last week. He said, thank you for making me do my work on time. He said, I preach 3 times a week. I got this, I got the other. He said, I look back on those days when I was so mad, but I am glad. You know why? Because I got to be ready to preach at 9:30 on Sunday and 5:30 on Sunday afternoon and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Number three, we must have a renewed commitment. Here we go. Again, I'm setting this up for next week. We've got to have a renewed commitment to raise children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't miss that. I'm going to focus there. Nurture. Nurture is almost a mothering word. Careful, kind, considerate. Soft hand of a lady stroking the head of a child. Making sure they're fed right. Not giving a cheese doodle to a 5-day-old. Instead, milk. Making sure a 5-year-old got plenty of protein, mixed, a balanced diet. Nurture, admonition. This is what the Bible says here. This will hurt if you do this. Don't touch the hot stove. Don't do this. I don't think you need to hang around that friend. We're going to cut the TV off now and go outside. Nurture, admonition. We must have a renewed commitment. We cannot be passive. The devil cannot have the next generation. They can't have your children and grandchildren. I must do that. They're responsible for their own choices. They will stand before God one day, but I will stand before God. What did I do to help steer the next generation to the old rugged cross and point them and make sure they understand they've got these obligations and the pattern that they learn now follows them throughout their life. We have a responsibility. And we've got to be renewed. Feeling guilty is not helpful. Wishing we'd done is not helpful. Being a good aunt or uncle is helpful. Being a good mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma and grandpa is helpful. Praying earnestly, desiring God to move, making sure we're good examples. Not perfect, but good examples. And we spotlight things where God is working in our lives. And we see, you know, he can change me. He changed me. He can change you. We have a renewed commitment. Why? Again, Lord willing, next time, we're going to unpack some of the things going on. What we are to do, particularly to help in these family areas. Would you pray with me right now? Different sermon in one sense. If you're here as a young person, by the way, and God plowed your heart, today's your day. I laid out exactly what's going to be on the test when you stand before the Lord.